This time on Kawaii-Fi Radio, Aaron explains why you might want to check out Ripsekai. Aaron, you are our shonen expert. You are willing to dive to the deepest of the darkest barrels.
Can you even call
barrels.
This a shonen?
Well, it's definitely not a shoujo.
No,
black or white is definitely shown it.
And we talk about the legacy of K-On.
Hang on, this is Eurocamp with a drum kit.
You mean Eurocamp is K-On with a tent?
Wait, they
didn't.
A tent and a drum kit.
Wi-Fi Radio.
Konnichiwa and welcome. I clap my hands and you're tuned into Kawaii-Fi Radio, the podcast where we dive into the world of anime, manga, and Japanese otaku culture. Clapping hands is bad, guys. It makes the mic spike.
That's why I did it away.
That works. I'm Kyle. With me is Aaron and Kenny and Tifa on remote. And this episode's coming to you a bit late because half the team got sick and I'm doing all the onboarding for a new job and Kenny was running around filming footballers and cricketers. So
sportball.
For work, not for pleasure. Because that's not pleasure.
Well.
Look, the footballers are okay.
The footballers are okay because
nice.
it's a game of four quarters, a game of two halves, you know.
And you know, it's fun.
You only get out what you put in.
Isn't it a bunch of dudes in short shorts grabbing each other for their balls?
Yes.
Yeah, and jumping on top of one another.
Totally straight.
Yeah, very straight.
Look,
if you're not aware what we're talking about, search up Australian rules football.
You know what? It's fun enough. Even if you're not into sports, it's just fun being there. Everyone's having a great time. No one has a great time at cricket.
You're not wrong, actually.
Oh, fight me in the comments, miserable. But I'm right.
No, people go to cricket to get drunk. They don't go to watch the cricket. Anyway, this episode, we are talking about...
Football and cricket.
K-On, which is not either of those things. So K-On started out as a series of manga. I've got the six volumes myself. I've had them for quite
Oi,
a while.
Give me the mangas.
You haven't seen the mangas?
Give me all the mangas.
You want all the mangas?
I've seen the mangas. Give them.
He wants to show them off in the back of the picture. Okay, everyone grin and look like an idiot. Because this will probably be the picture we use for the... I don't know. the K-On! Manga started out, quite a while back now. We're talking like 2007, I think it was. So the manga's coming up to its 20 years anniversary, and it kind of just petered out and finished when it could have continued going on. The anime took what's essentially a four-coma gag manga and made it into a story. And they did really well with it. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the creator, Khaki Fly, man does not commit to anything.
Man barely exists.
Yeah. No one knows what he looks
jealous.
Like. There's pictures online that claim that's him, and then everyone's like, no, that's not even related to his stuff. That's to other people.
That's not Khaki Fly. That's Hayao Miyazaki coming out of retirement.
No, you mean like the Nier Automata guy with the moon face?
Yeah. And one of the other... There's a lot of mangaka who, like, you know, don't appear publicly.
They enjoy their privacy. And
yeah. Just
respect
fair.
That.
Yeah.
And totally fair.
Which is, like, I see the double-edged use of that. It's like, first of all, no one knows who you are when you're out in public. Second of all, no one can blame you when you're not releasing a manga.
Yeah. So, there's a whole load of stuff to go into on this, and we'll get into a moment. But the anime in particular kind of really hit... I guess a real sort of niche in the cute girls doing cute things time frame that for some reason has just stuck around. And, you know, a lot of people still love it to this day, even though it's, you know, approaching 20 years old.
Yes, in the pre-show we were saying that this was sort of our generation's brain rot as far as anime goes.
But it really wasn't.
Kind of, no. I mean...
We'll come more onto that in a little bit, but like, yeah, it had its own thing in that time, if that makes sense. Anyway, before we get stuck into that, we've all been watching stuff from this season, and we got some things to tell you.
I have no idea how old I am or where I came from.
Daddy, ohayo.
Hang time! I gotta go.
I have to know.
Hooray! I did the thing.
Oni-chan, nani wo miru?
What we're watching.
Yeah, I was going to say we need to take the Red Bull away from Kenny, but he's already finished two of them, so we might be in trouble.
Oh, no.
Unfortunately, he was
going to be... My Red Bull drinker.
Oh, no.
The Red Bull drinker is dead. Oh, no, it would have been... Shin.
I have already drunk the Red Bull.
Yeah. Aaron, Red Bull you have been watching My Ribdiculous Reincarnation. Okay. We know our Patreon members love this one. But it's not going to be for everyone. This one's...
Anime has hit a wall.
I wouldn't say it's hit a wall. We've got some really good stuff this season. It's just that some of the ideas, I feel, are tailored towards a very specific audience, and I'm no longer in that audience demographic anymore. So, you know, for me, it's like, I'm kind of bored. But, Aaron, you are our shonen expert. You are willing to dive to the deepest of the darkest barrels.
Can you even call this a shonen?
I wouldn't call this a shonen.
It is, though.
Oh, jeez. Okay. Well,
I will double check that claim, but I'm sure that...
Well, it's definitely not shoujo.
No.
Thanks for the clarification.
Going to black or white is definitely shonen, but like... So...
Yeah.
Explain this.
Okay.
He's like, no.
Basically, this guy dies.
Wow.
In a terrible fashion.
Truck.
Truck and then various other things, including a meteor hitting him. while he was trying to impress a girl who ended up being there with her boyfriend that he didn't know about. She made him dress up in a dog costume and act like a dog in the middle of an intersection.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, obviously he died a very unsatisfied death. So he gets sent to the spirit world, and the gods initially, they're like, oh, wow, this is the first time this soul's been here. He's a fresh soul. Maybe we should get him for our world. And then they classify him as an irregular, and they all go, ugh.
Yeah, for good reason.
So he gets sent to the rejected goddess, and she goes, okay, well, take this, and it will give you... Because in their world, different isekais have different queue times. So if you want to be a hero with a harem, it's a 500,000 year wait.
Mm.
Because other people are in the line ahead of you waiting to get that result.
Same thing with demon lords. Like, everyone's like, I'll be a demon lord, 300,000 year wait.
So like, he tries to go, oh, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll do that, I'll do this.
Reincarnated and like, with a mad
it takes
skill.
This long.
700,000 years.
Yeah. And they're like, if you want to be a hero, but you get laughed at behind your back by everyone, that's 5 minutes. And he's like, I'm good. And so she gives him a little, a pocky box.
He's basically going for the
lottery.
Pick and mix approach.
Yeah. And so she's like, it'll read your mind. It'll give you the best one available to you right now. So he shakes it, spits out an orb, and he's the hero's rib. So he gets reincarnated as the hero's rib, and then he comes back shortly thereafter, and the goddess goes,
why are you back?
That was fast.
And obviously, for the series to work, this needs to be one gag per episode. You can't...
No, there's two. Two per episode.
Yeah, but like, you need minimum one.
So,
yeah.
Like, what, does he get sent back as a different hero's rib? What happens next?
No.
So, the goddess asks him what happened, and he retells the story. And this is where this... shows its true value as a show. Each time
I have to agree with that, actually.
He gets reincarnated and he retells the story to the goddess, it's done in a different medium. They use a different style altogether.
Mm.
So like one they've used rotoscoping, one they've used like little paper puppets, one they've used like actors, one they've used claymation. Like
Pop Team Epic, basically the principle of how they would do gag comedy and using different mediums. No, actually Pop Team Epic's the wrong one. Bocchi the Rock.
Mm.
How they would do lots of the randomized animation things to show different effects for her, except think of it as whenever a story is told, they've brought a different studio in.
Yeah, completely right. Different. Even the art's different. Like, it's not like they're using the same art but different mediums. It's all wildly different.
And he's a rib?
Just the once.
Oh.
And so she gives him another chance, gives him another lottery. He shakes it the next time he goes into the world as the hermit crab that's the adventurer's best friend.
Yeah, I know, right? I think you broke Kenny with that one.
Okay.
And so there's lots of different reincarnations. One time he's a potato warrior.
Die, potato.
He gets reincarnated so many different times, and there's so many different stories, and it's all just... If you enjoy the concept of isekai and just seeing something absolutely ludicrous for 5 minutes and then moving on to something else.
This is
perfect.
This is brain rot, just right?
To rip on the whole genre of isekai.
Yeah, basically, yeah. It's like,
I've seen
out...
far too many of you. I'm just going to isekai the rest of every possible thing you can be. What the hell? Why are you?
It's like Konosuba, but they've taken it outside of being just the one universe into all possible. That's, reincarnation.
This is just the guy who looked at all the isekais. It's like, oh, a vending machine. You know what? I'm going to do every other thing you could possibly get isekai'd as.
Yeah, pretty much. Even worse than that. One time he's reincarnated as the Demon Lord's door knocker. One time he's reincarnated as the feeling of jealousy you get when you see a couple and you're single.
I'm sorry. What?
That is so specific.
Yep, Kenny's out. He's done. He's left the building.
He actually moves from one character to another, and then that initial character tries to find him again. Because he gave him comedic powers because he was so funny because of the jealousy from seeing couples.
Who wrote this?
That's a great question, and
is where that show shines, because it's such ludicrous concepts that you've got to go, I never would have thought of this. This is original art.
Yeah.
So this
is originally based on a light novel, which is why the title is stupidly long. But I can also let you know that the short name for it is Ribsekai.
I love that.
That's hilarious. So,
Look, it's not going to be everyone's cup of tea.
Absolutely.
Does he reincarnate as a cup of tea?
I wouldn't put it out of the equation.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it out of the equation either. I haven't seen all of it yet. I think I'm like an episode or two behind. Plus, we're only mid-season at the moment, Kenny.
Yeah.
There's still plenty of time.
Does he reincarnate as an isekai series?
He probably could.
He could probably reincarnate as a book about isekai in another world.
He could probably reincarnate as an animator working on an isekai series.
They could also probably just use this as a way to literally put him into any existing anime series.
What if he reincarnates as the mangaka writing this series?
He could.
I mean, look, we've seen them do that. We've seen them kill off the writer as well.
We've seen them reincarnate as a character from a series they've already read. Remember that time I was reincarnated as Yamcha?
Yeah. That was great, though.
That was fun.
I've got that in the manga straw, so...
Yeah, you want a ridiculous isekai concept? How's that?
I don't know what a Yamcha is, but it sounds disappointing.
All right. Anyway, Ribdiculous, you can catch it on Crunchyroll. It's not going to be for everyone, but it is worth viewing just for kind of seeing how wild they're going
to
go.
It lives up to the title.
Yeah. All right. Tifa, you have been reading a manga.
Yes, I've been reading Ichi the Witch, which I'm pretty sure was announced for a anime.
And these two knuckleheads start itching and scratching themselves.
And the manga
fight,
has
fight,
about...
Fight, fight, fight.
Oh my goodness. The manga has about 80 chapters, I think, at the moment, which I'm not very far into, but basically it's about this world with like magical creatures, all that kind of stuff, and there are witches in this world, and the witches are kind of like hunters in a way, and they're all female, so it becomes about the first male witch, which is kind of interesting as well. I think it like flips a lot of gender connotations and things like that within it, but it's also just like a lot of fun, and he kind of loves the idea of like hunting these like magical beasts and stuff as well. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not too far into it, but I like it. It's cool.
Is it played for comedy or?
Not really.
It's very
shonen. I remember reading it when it started coming out. Yeah.
Okay.
It's very Hunter Hunter, but magic.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I dig it.
Like, it's the way that he perceives magic and hunting after these magics is very much like Gonyu's too in Hunter Hunter.
Yes, yeah, yeah. It's very. He has a very similar like aesthetic as well in the beginning to Gon, just like visually, so I feel like it's very easy to make that kind of connection as well, and I feel like maybe we could go
intentional.
I think so, yeah, like it does feel that way, right? So I wonder if we're also gonna see a similar path later on, you know, so like things might get a little darker with him, maybe a little more interesting and less childlike almost, whereas like things get forgiven because there are children or they're like young, and as you grow as an adult, you're like, actually, wait a minute.
Well, the way the magics work in this world is after you defeat it, it sort of like becomes a pet and you can access its magic.
Oh, okay.
So like, and they've also got certain restrictions on them when you battle them.
Mm.
Oh, okay. That's different.
Yeah.
So it's Pokemon or spells? It's...
Well, it's sort of like the Jinchuriki from Naruto.
Okay.
Okay.
Like the wizard, well, the witch who has it can hear it, but nobody else can. So
okay.
The way he becomes a witch is he hunts something that nobody else has been able to. And the restriction on it was that I think it couldn't be hunted by a witch.
Yeah, and because he's like from the Druid Mountains as well, he's able to kind of do that. He knows like about this area, and these witches like don't know as much as he does because of that as well. So,
like, he's practiced hunting in that forest his entire life, so he's used to hunting in that forest. So he could take down that magic, which
something interesting I found out: the creator of this is the creator of Marimashita Arumakun.
Oh!
Hey!
So, well, welcome to Demon School Arumakun.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they did the story and art for that, but they're just doing the story for Itchy.
Cool.
Because, Itchy the Witch is fantastic, and I genuinely hope you enjoy it as much as I have.
Yeah, that really sounds great.
It's really... I remember, like, talking on the show about it when I first was reading it. I was like, Kyle, you need to read this. This is incredible. This is going to be so good. And so now that I've got Tifa backing me up on it.
I mean, now that Tifa's said it, I definitely want to.
You're trash taste, Aaron.
You're not trash taste.
There's like a few. There's like different elements going on, but I think it's, you know, everyone's looking to find what's going to be the next thing as like Jujutsu Kaisen comes to an end, Chainsaw Man, all of these things. So it's like, what's the next? And we know Kagurabachi was like really hyped up for the next thing as well. I think Itchy the Witch is going to be one of those other ones in that same starting of manga that will end up being quite big.
I feel like Gachi Akuta is probably going to slide in there as well.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's already got a bit of a head start.
Massive
in anime.
Okay. Well, this is currently being published by Viz Media under the Shonen Jump imprint. Since February this year, actually. That's when it has the volume for physical publishing started in English.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I was definitely reading it long before.
It's been published digitally as an English simulpub on the Manga Plus app, which is where you've been reading it, I believe. So, it's on my list to read as well. It's been sitting there, but as I told you, I've been going through this backlog of all these manga I've been trying to get through, but it's on there and I definitely do need to catch up. Nice. Well, that's where you can read it, Manga Plus.
And if you're enjoying Witch Hat Atelier this season, definitely check it out.
I know.
Witches.
Oh, wow. There you go.
Yeah, done.
That's a new big thing.
It does seem to be the new thing.
Superheroes are out. Witches are in.
All righty. Kenny, you have been watching Demons of the Shadow Realm.
I'd call it the Purple Realm.
Not the... Spirit Realm.
It's a Yu-Gi-Oh!
Bridge reference. Come on.
I know.
Yes, my verdict is it's good.
Well, it's good.
That's it. Watch it on Crunchyroll. Next topic. No. I think we did touch on it briefly previously for another one, but what are you finding so far?
Frankly, like, you know who's written it. Yeah. You know who's responsible.
Yep. No, we don't need to go into that.
Their glove prints are all over it, either in the character design or the character's personality, like the crazy, crazy battle scenes. Mm-hmm. The story absolutely suckered me into it for the first episode because it's like they're set in like a little castle, water fortress village in the mountains somewhere. Mm-hmm. It looks like early Meiji period, like tech level. And that's when the magical barrier around the village vanishes and they can see a plane flying overhead and a helicopter full of soldiers raids their village.
Oh,
damn.
Have you not watched it yet?
No, it's been on the list.
That was episode one.
I know.
That's like the first bit. It's like, oh, okay, I see what you're setting up here. You're setting up like the tech level. This is going to be very feudal era stuff. No.
Nope.
All right.
Demons.
Soldiers raid the village, including a pair of people with seemingly magic powers, the ability to command demons that nobody else can see. And one of them is a set of jaws which tears people to pieces.
Chompy!
The jaw titan?
Yeah, she just goes gobble and then their top half vanishes.
Think a chain gobble. Chomp.
Oh.
But just using that to eviscerate everyone.
Sort of like Aki in Chainsaw Man with the...
With the con.
Yeah. The exact same premise.
And so there is a hero that is being raised to sort of like take on a set of demons.
Alphonse Eric.
Yes.
And his color swapped brother. I don't know if he's a brother or a sister.
Sister,
yeah. You know, instead, we'll have black hair and red eye, blue eyes instead of the
and
red
that head. Part is very odd as well.
Yeah, we won't touch that. Yeah, we'll save that for
I'm
you
not
to watch.
Spoiling that because that sets up like what the hell is going on. Yeah. And you're just like, what?
Mm. Okay.
And everyone else has got one demon and then. Alphonse gets two.
No. Everyone else has a pair. Is that they exist as one? How do I put it?
They're bound together, yet. Or
how do I put it? It's every demon is two things that are one, sort of like the jaw demon is each one of the jaws.
Oh,
so there are two elements to it.
Exacto.
Okay,
and so main guy gets a pair of demons called left and right.
Huh.
Who are the two sort of like lion guardians.
Are they literally his fists?
No. They are a pair of lion guardian statues that have been sitting at the front of the village all
with
this time.
With electric powers.
And
okay.
They are absolute chads and I love them.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Just watch the anime. It's great.
Just watch
the some anime.
And yeah, then they have to sort of flee the village. So an organization seems to come to rescue them. The people responsible for this village being a magical oasis away from everyone. And they're just like, what the hell is this horseless carriage you've brought us to? And she's like, okay, we're doing that thing. All right.
We're going to have to go through all of this.
How does it work? It has tiny horses in it. Oh, I understand.
Okay.
Okay.
Technically not wrong. Runs on horsepower.
Demons of Shadow Realm is Crunchyroll this season as well, yeah. Isn't it? So
it's good.
Okay. Yeah.
It's good.
Halfway through. Check it out, especially if you like Fullmetal Alchemist. Same creator. Mm.
Yeah, if you like Fullmetal Alchemist, this is for you.
If you liked Chainsaw Man but would like it very much watered down...
Watered down, like less gin.
Less blood.
Less gin. Less gin and blood.
Okay.
More tonic.
Like, it's...
Less
does
rum,
it, does
more
it stick the landing?
It's more palatable. Because Chainsaw Man could be quite confronting a lot of the time.
Yeah,
this
fair.
Is a lot more palatable. It's a lot more...
Less spaghetti, more bolognese. Or is it less bolognese, more spaghetti?
That one.
I don't know Italian.
We're not talking Invincible here.
Oh, yeah.
God. Okay,
Kyle!
Watch that on Crunchyroll.
What have you been watching, reading?
I've been reading a lot of stuff, but I want to talk about Ramparts of Ice, which is this season's Netflix show. It's
this season's Netflix.
This season's
Look,
Netflix.
Honestly, it's the one which is doing well on Netflix. Because, you know, the episodes actually come out, unlike JoJo.
Damn, everyone gonna be in the comments like, still like, run?
God, that was so dumb. So Ramparts of Ice, if anyone watched You and I, Apollo Opposites last season, that is the same author as this. And both of these are about 70 chapter mangas, which she's written set in a school environment, but with very different themes. Ramparts of Ice is kind of like if Toradora was done right, if that makes sense, because the anime adaptation skipped like 100 chapters of character development in the second half and didn't make any sense, and they didn't allow the characters to grow. This one, the pacing's really good. Every episode has something in it that makes you go like, no, I need the next episode. Like, and they... The opening's music's okay. The outro, however, is used to exceptional effect because it starts with this really low bass riff and that comes in during the show. So you know the ending's about to happen. You're like, oh, what bomb's going to be dropped now? like what's about to happen, because it always ends on like, you know, some like truth bomb or social bomb being dropped.
The JoJo roundabout.
I was
music.
Just yeah. about ding, to say ding, that. Ding,
yeah. ding. So
you hear the bass and you're like, oh no, who's dying?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But yeah, so the whole story focuses on a group of 14s in high school. Hikawa is the main character, and she's definitely kind of like, you can see there are elements of Tiger from
Tiger and Bunny.
Toradora.
No, from Toradora in like her design. And it's clearly like, you know, Toradora served as partially as an inspiration to this, it feels like, the way the character is done. So she's socially withdrawn. Everyone in school calls her basically the Ice Princess, and that's why it's the Ramparts of Ice, because she puts up a wall around her that no one can break into. And because basically during middle school she had serious trauma. And all of these kids have issues, and, you know, it's a lot more realistic than, you know, it's happy-go-lucky. It's like, no, you know, the only person she spends time with is her childhood friend, Miki, who, Miki, everyone thinks is like a princess in high school because she kind of completely reinvented herself between middle school and high school. In middle school, everyone referred to as the gorilla.
gorilla.
And then there's these two guys, who she bumps into one day, and they all think, you know, the whole school at this point thinks that, you know, she's the Ice Princess. No one can approach her. She hates everyone. Don't talk to her, sort of thing. And it's just that she doesn't want to get involved with people because of, you know, all the trauma she's had.
And I mean, in general, you've met people.
Yeah,
people.
So, like, we're so used to seeing, like, the representation of, you know, Japanese high schools being everything's great. And, you know, if you're the loner, people will, invite you to things and you will be involved. And we know that's not true. We know that, you know, that is the rose-tinted glasses view of high school and trying to encourage other students to be like that through it, you know. But that's not what happens. There are people who have disagreements. There are people who have trauma, people who were bullied and had, you know, heaps of issues. And, you know, we all know that high school was not easy. You know, even back in like the 90s and 2000s, it was not easy. Doesn't matter where you were. Even the cool kids had issues.
And the 2010s.
And the 2010s.
And the 2020s.
No,
and the 2030s. The 2040s.
It's forever going to be, you know, a challenge for people. People are going to have, you know, things that they come against. There are going to be, you know, personalities that clash and stuff.
To quote the great philosopher Anakin Skywalker,
I don't think the system works.
So yeah,
I don't like sand.
Anyway.
It's coarse and rough.
So, there's all this trauma that these two girls have built up from when they were in middle school, and it's all to do with these other people who are no longer at their school, if that makes sense. So they've gone to a different high school, and they've tried to kind of move themselves away from it. And there's this guy who there's two boys who they run into. There's Yota, who's a really tall dude and he's really nice. And then there is Amamiya, who is, he thinks very highly of himself. Like, you know, he thinks that, you know, he's friends to all of the loners, sort of things. And he thinks that, you know, everyone who has an issue needs him. She does not want anything to do with him. And I really hope they don't get together because they'd be a terrible match. She deserves to get together with Yota. But yeah.
Shipping wars.
Well, it's basically like they even address it. It's like, wow, they actually work really well together. They're dynamic. You know, he's respectful of her and doesn't make her feel uncomfortable. She feels comfortable around him and she does not feel comfortable around people. So, you know, that's there. And then you've got this guy who thinks, you know, he's God's gift to the lonely friend. And he's the metaphor that is frequently used is him with keys opening locks and stuff like that. And it's just like, nah, bro, no. Like, you don't actually connect with everyone. Like, he doesn't build connections. He just basically saves people for his own benefit, if that makes sense.
Wow.
He's a namesake friend.
Yeah. But he's now suddenly obsessed with Hikawa. Turns out Miki's had a crush on him since middle school because they went to the same study groups together outside of school. There's all these little, you know, the typical high school drama you would expect, but it's phrased in an environment that feels a lot more grounded than most high school dramas or romance series that
we
get.
Yeah, that sounds crazy authentic.
Yeah, it's really done really well, and they use a lot of imagery that kind of basically as metaphors, like when she's putting up the barrier, when you can see when she's shut down emotionally, everyone else feels like a wall of ice has gone up, sort of thing, like brick by brick sort of thing. And yeah, it's really well done, the metaphors. The animation is spectacularly well done. And the most frustrating thing is this is Studio Kai, who announced Insolvency, who also, as I mentioned in the pre-show, in charge of Sentence to Be a Hero and Snowball Earth this season. Like, and we don't know what's going to happen.
How does someone with that many successful projects get...
Because they weren't successful until now and their end of financial year just came in and they've been losing every year. And it's gotten to the point that they just cannot keep up. So I'm hoping that means one of these owners of Studio Kai's, like the proponent of it, will come in and buy them out so that they can keep them continuing on, because these are all shows that they are involved in that can be really big and will earn them money, especially Sentence to Be a Hero, because Sentence to Be a Hero, the manga is so far behind the anime. It's insane. It's a light novel first.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's much like Reincarnated as a Slime.
Yeah. There are 12 chapters of the manga. They haven't even gotten to the mines.
Damn.
Yeah. Mm. So, like, it's so far behind. Whereas... this is finished. That's one of the good things in this case. Like, Ramparts of Ice and You and I Are Polar Opposites, both completed mangas, and that means we know that her next work is in the process now, and hopefully that'll be another one in the same thing. The other good thing is both of the characters from each show show up in the background of the shows.
Aww.
Cute. So, especially for Ramparts of the Ice, I think it was episode 6 or episode 5, they have a post-credit scene. And always with these two shows, check on both of them in case the episode has post-credits, because it happens about 2 or 3 times in the season. But they've got a post-credit scene where the girl from You and I Are Polar Opposites, with her big pink fluffy hair and all that, is just chilling in the background in a cafe while they're catching up with some cute old friends. And you're sitting there going... hey. And then we didn't
they're
realize
all connected.
It because we were watching You and I Are Polar Opposites at the same time, because we missed it last season, me and Emma. The Ramparts of Ice girls appear in the background of some of their scenes as well.
Aww.
So they're set in the same city and the same environment. They don't meet and hang out, but yeah, I like the fact that she's slowly building, I guess you could say, like the
multiverse.
The high school interconnected drama verse or something. But yeah. So
oh, sorry, I did a swear. Sorry,
what did you say? I didn't hear it, so that's good. I will. What time are we at? I'll put that back in the notes.
I am very, very bored of interconnected universes at this
point. Yeah, I know, but I find if it's an author doing it between their works and it makes sense, then that's fine.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's really good. The lady who writes it, I'm just going to bring up the manga, because I'd love to know. I think it just ended. Yeah, April. Oh no. April 2022, the English one just came out. Kocha Agasawa. Yeah, she's only published those two mangas so far, so we're waiting to hear when the next one comes.
Oh.
Which sucks. I was hoping we'd have something new, because that... No. but yeah, so like this and Polar Opposites are like the two sides of a coin, if you will. If you want like the fun, goofy... if you liked, what's the one with the guy and the girl in the high school?
So helpful.
And then they get, I know. My brain's like, I can see it. He's like really reserved in school, but has tattoos and piercings outside.
Horimiya.
Oh, yeah,
thank
yeah.
you. Think Horimiya, but even funnier. That's Polar Opposites.
Wow. Okay.
And with much better pacing. And the second half of that's coming into the air, and that'll be the end. Because, yeah, they get together in, like, the first two episodes, and then everything after that is just comedy gold. So, yeah, between the two of these, like, I'm so impressed that this author's had both of her works be done in 1 year. Like, what? So, yeah. But, yeah, look, you can watch this on Netflix. Ramparts Ice is exceptionally well done. It's where, like, it's drama first rather than romance first, but not in a dumb way. Mm. And, they, you know, the way the characters handle things is the way high schoolers would. They don't communicate very well, but you hear their inner monologue of, should I have said that? You know, stuff like that. Like, the things that we all do in those conversations, like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Oh, is that going on? I'm not going to ask, though, because communicating's hard as a child.
I hope they didn't pick up on that one.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, look, go watch it.
He said
highly recommend
eyes.
It. And God, I forgot about that. That was a weird one. I'm trying to remember where I watched... Polar Opposites, and I want to say that was Crunchyroll this last season. I'm pretty sure it was Crunchyroll last season.
I think so. I'm pretty sure
most things are.
Yeah, most of them are these days, let's be honest. But yeah, go check them out. They're great as well. Anyway, I've kind of blabbed a lot there.
You're excited. It's cute.
I am. Like, it's been a while since I've been so well invested into like a well-written romance anime. Yeah. Like, half of the ones I've been watching, I kind of like, they peter out halfway through. I'm just like, nah, I'm done. This just isn't interesting. Like, you had a good concept and then you resolved it in like two episodes and it was boring after that. Whereas these, like...
Feels like we've all suggested a pretty damn good show each.
Yeah.
Show and manga.
I mean, Ichi the Witch, if that doesn't get announced as a manga, I'll be shocked. Anime, I'll be shocked. Yeah. Like, that deserves the anime treatment.
Kyle loves love.
I do. I'm a big softy. I'm so soft.
Yeah, you are.
Soft.
Whereas look, I like blood and violence.
I've got some manga for you. Have you been watching or reading something interesting? Let us know in the comments section below. We're always on the hunt for new shows to watch and new manga to read. And like, man, if you've got a good sci-fi kaiju manga, let me know. Because
let me know.
Because all the ones I find either just haven't been translated or they're just being killed after 12 episodes and it's infuriating. So yeah, I've got a really good one to share with you, but the translation has stopped, so I'm going to see if I can pester one of the groups that I follow to fan translate it.
Is there any Arthurian manga that isn't Fate? Silence.
That isn't Fate is the important part there.
I need to tell you guys something between segments.
Yeah, we'll get into that. We'll be right back because it's time to talk K-On!
The Wi-Fi Radio!
I really need to go back and watch that.
A relic from the ancient times.
Huh? It only came out last season.
Yeah, so very long ago.
Back catalogue.
So very long ago.
Yeah. All right. Yes, Dig the Sting. We're making them longer and more fun so we can put them in the background. That went way too low.
And so that Aaron can terrify Kyle and Kenny between segments with anime information.
We're not gonna
I wouldn't
tell
say
you.
It's terrifying. I'd just say it's weird. Some of the decisions that are made in anime these days. Anyway, K-On! Is the topic today.
K-On!
Yeah, exactly. The started out as a manga, which was, geez... I'll be honest, the manga's better. The anime is better than the manga because it actually has a story, but the manga is still good fun.
There's a story?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is.
Kind of.
The manga has no story by comparison.
Yeah. The manga is a bunch of sort of like dopey little skits of cute girls doing cute things, which is awesome.
Yeah. I'll be honest as well. Like the manga, it says older teens on here for a reason. Because Khaki Fly has some issues, especially when it comes to Mugi.
We've known that.
I love Mugi.
Mugi's a great character. And I love like all the random dreams people have of like eating her eyebrows was like daikon radish. It's just like so weird.
Because she's got this colossal set of eyebrows.
They're amazing. That's so good.
Yeah. So look, if you haven't heard of K-On! Before,
Where have you been?
No. No, it's not that. So this is a comedy, music, school life anime. Cute girls doing cute things, but it is not music in the way that an idol anime is, or like you're not going to have to sit there and listen to them do an awkward performance for ages. Music is the vehicle to tell the story, if that makes sense. It's not the focal point.
It's almost incidental to the like to the stuff that they are doing normally, which is mostly just screwing about.
Yeah,
like. They are almost a band. This is almost an anime about girls in a band, but it's mostly just about the cute girls just
doing cute things. Yeah,
messing about.
So the synopsis of this, and we'll give you the Maori right, and then we'll tell them where they're wrong.
As we do. The re wrong.
Look, I mean, people rewrite things for Mal, and you're sitting there going, "Did you watch this?" So a fresh high school year always means there's much to come, and one of those things is joining a club. Maybe. You don't have to. You can be in the go-home club. It's a dilemma about which club to join, and Yui Hirasawa stumbles upon and applies for the Light Music Club, which he misinterprets about to be playing light and simple instruments. So, such as, you know, the castanets, the little clackers things. I don't know why he was so focused on castanets, but just go with it. She can't play an instrument and she decides to visit and apologize and quit. Meanwhile, they will get disbanded if they don't get one more member.
This is where that trope reached its absolute zenith, I'm certain.
So the club then is like, oh, we're going to offer her anything. We've got to keep her in. You can just slack off. We will give you cake. Like, please don't leave. So it's all about convincing Yui to stay. And despite their efforts, Yui insists on leaving the club. That's not what happens, but okay. They then play a piece of music for Yui, which sparks her fiery passion and finally convinces her to join the club. From then on, it's just plain messing around with bits, pieces of practice. The whole point of the story in the manga was for them to get to playing at the Budokan, which is like the big rock festival.
Oh, the Budokai.
The Budokai, thank you.
It's not the Budokai. No, Dragon Ball Z.
What are you doing?
I'm on to you, Kenny.
Thank you, because I've just had the one Red Bull and no coffee, so I'm on zeros.
It is the Budokan, you're
correct.
It
is the Budokan, which is a big music venue, all the big bands. It's like the highest place you want to play in Japan.
It's Wembley.
But good.
Yes.
No, I'm kidding. I can't say that, actually. I was just doing the media training for the lady who was the architect who did the redesign in the ceiling.
Oh, really?
She's so cool. She's now the mayor of York. She just got the role. Like, she's been interim for like 2 years, and they went, we want an engineer. And she went, I tell engineers what to do. And they went, oh, okay.
That is so cool.
So, yeah, expect a lot of good things from the city of York, Shire of York, in the coming years. They're not technically a city yet because they're not big enough. But, yeah. Anyway, complete tangent on side note.
Yes. Local news.
Local news. So, from there onwards, it is just plain messing around. But let's go to the actual manga synopsis, because that tells you a bit more about what's going on. So you've got the members, you've got the core members. You've got Mio Akiyama, who's the bassist. I love Mio, but that's mostly because of how she's done in the manga as opposed to in the anime. But
she's cute in the anime as well.
She's good.
She's the poster girl.
Mm.
She's the bassist, which holds everything together. Because
that's a drummer.
No, you cannot get... Have you noticed how many times they have to pull Ritsu into line? Miu is the one that is holding the band's rhythm together. So you've got Ritsu, who... Miu and Ritsu are old friends from middle school. Ritsu has in her mind that they were going to be in a band for... You know, and Miu is just like... I mean, okay. You know, it feels like... Yeah, different story. And then you've got Mugi, or Sumugi, who is, you know, a lady from a rich family, and I won't tell you what her family does, but let's just say that money is not a problem. Like, there is no objective that cannot be.
Her family just do yes.
Yeah, basically.
Her whole thing is just like, I want to have that authentic high school experience of having great friends and great experiences.
Yeah.
And then she just spends every cent possible to just make sure that happens, and she has a wholesome life experience, and there's no trouble.
Yeah. So the manga's a very different way for the story to be told, and this is done by Kyoto Animation. They did a much better job of actually making it into a cohesive story. The problem is they got to the end and they were asking Kaki Fly, hey, we want to do a third season. What can we do to wrap this up before they go to university? I don't know. And they were just like, fine, okay, well, let's do a bunch of OVAs. And so there's a bunch of OVAs which then lead into the film for them going to England, which was just bonkers but great. There is a manga which then does the year after, when they're in college. And that could have been so good, and he just like stopped it after four chapters. And you're like, I hate you, man. Like,
what happened to their hair?
No, that's the girls in the university's music club.
Oh, okay.
That's them.
Oh, okay.
They're already in a sick band.
Okay.
So,
okay. Yeah. I thought that they like went through a major character change.
They're the band they met in London, isn't it?
No? But they're friends with...
They didn't meet that band in London.
No,
that was a pre-existing friend of Ritsu's.
Yeah. Yes, that's yeah. They don't meet those girls until
I paid attention.
Good yeah. job.
I watched it years ago.
You were meant to rewatch it.
The movie.
He did rewatch some of it. We were discussing.
Yeah, this is true.
A huge part of why we're discussing it now, as well, is because this has been added to the Criterion Collection. And so, for those who don't know, the Criterion Collection is like an American home entertainment distribution distribution company, which focuses mainly on important classics and contemporary films that have a specific piece of media that means something, that has been a catalyst for something. So
A lot of the John Hughes films are in there.
Mm. Yeah, K-On! Is important enough to be in there, and I just keep thinking about all of those Criterion Collection YouTube videos where the celebrities go in there and they pick out which DVDs they want to take home, and now K-On!'s going to be an option.
Which is so cool.
There are five in the anime section, full stop.
Wait, really?
Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex.
Yeah, yeah.
Gatchaman the movie from the 70s, 78. Jamal 2020, which is a punk cat in space, a film from 2002, and the Gunbusters movie. That's
what a
wild.
Random
We're
collection.
We're going to have to cover a bunch of those.
Yeah.
I would like to air a grievance that I have with K-On!
Look, you're not a slice of life anime person, are you?
No, but this is unrelated to that.
Okay.
Oh.
I was in the goddamn shower and Fwa Fwa Time was playing in my head. I was so mad.
See, this is probably also why I like Mio as well as a character, because the songs in the outro, oh my God, who's trying to call a suspected scam caller, and my phone was on face down, come on. I really prefer the outro songs because I feel like they are
wasn't an opening or outro, this was the song that they sing
during the for the school festival thing, which is really short and silly. And that, fun fact, the voice actors learned to play and performed live despite none of them being able to play instruments before voicing these characters.
Which is really cool, actually.
It's really cute.
That is very
They did
cool.
a live concert with all of them there, but with a supporting band so all of them could sing. But then they were like, we actually learned how to play this. And everyone's like, what?
Which is so cool.
Cute.
Yeah, the intro songs, don't be put off by them, because they are definitely more... there's a split in the band of two different styles. You've got Yui, who's very happy-go-lucky, whatever, and Miu, who wants to be a serious songwriter. So the outro songs are always focused on Miu's voice actress singing. Some funny stuff on who she ends up voicing later. And then the opening songs are always done by Yui. So some of them are not great. Some of them are. But the one thing I didn't realize, because I hadn't rewatched K-On! Since going to Japan, all the opening sequences, all of the opening scenes and locations for K-On! In season one are all in Kyoto, and they're all real places. And I've been to all of them by accident.
Mm.
Now, I was like, the archways, I stopped and I pointed at Emma. I'm like, Emma, we went there. She's like, oh, and it was a random temple we just decided to go to, and then found the best burger place next to it called Dragon Burger.
Which
had some of the best burgers I've ever had in Japan.
You sent us the menu for that, and I have been jealous for a very long time.
You've done a K-On! Migration.
By accident. A K-On!
Pilgrimage.
Pilgrimage,
that's the one.
Yeah. Man, I really want us all to go together to Japan as a group. That'd be so fun.
It would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We'll make it happen
Godzilla
somehow.
Godzilla Hotel.
I've heard it's not that good.
Most of these things aren't. They're just character-themed things.
And they are touristy to, make money off dumb tourists like me.
And despite his fear of heights, Brendan has said he will make an exception for the Godzilla zipline.
Oh, hell. Really?
Yes.
To go inside the Godzilla's mouth. Yeah.
Sorry.
Hot.
No. Bad boy. So, anyway, back to K-On!. But yeah, look.
Speaking of Godzilla's
mouth. The music isn't going the music isn't going to be to everyone's fit as far as the opening and the outros, but this series does deserve it, because it kind of did what a lot of the other cute girls doing cute thing mangas didn't at that time, which was actually have a story that went somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And even if that story is just leading up to graduation and them having goals and new performances they want to head to, which unfortunately Khaki Fly, the creator, did not actually follow up through on, which is really frustrating. And this is why Sound Euphonium was made in-house original by Kyoto Animation, because they wanted a music anime, because they're like, wow, we can do really good things with this. We have a we have a team who focuses on instrument playing and how to animate that. They're like, well, we need something which actually has a run for it. and unfortunately Kaon isn't it, and that's why his follow-up manga hasn't been animated, because it is also four volumes in and on hiatus. And it is also Kaon, and it's a different group of girls in a different school 10 years later, and you're just like, cool, what you gonna do with this? Are you gonna do anything? No, he stopped at the same spot.
Did they have the same teacher? The same
No, it's a completely different school.
Yeah. 10 years later, bro.
Yeah, but
that teacher's retired.
No, she was only 25 in the series.
Yeah, but have you worked in the education system? 10 years enough.
Look, you make a valid point.
I'd like to believe it's different in Japan.
Especially high school students.
I still want to believe it's different in Japan.
So yeah, the new manga's called Kaon Shuffle. Oh, excuse me. That came out in 2018, and it looks very much idol-coded.
Mm.
If you have a look at the characters, they're very much designed to look like they belong in Love Live.
This was something that annoyed me as well, right? So after Kaon, basically, it was a long time till we really had another anime that was actually about kind of like music and wasn't an idol anime. Like, there are not very many that are out there. Obviously, we had Given, which only, like, it reaches kind of like an opposite demographic in a way almost, but it's not quite the same. Boshi the Rock is like the closest thing, right? Where it's, and it's a bit more about the music as well, but I just really don't care for idol animes. So it's just surprising that there wouldn't be as many things about music that isn't just idol-based.
There are a lot. There have actually been a lot of music club-based animes. They just haven't resonated with audiences.
Yeah, it's
they haven't managed to hit what Kaon did or Sound Euphonium has done.
I think idol animes, you know, I gave them a pass. You know, they're obviously for a different community, not for me. And then I started meeting people from that community, and now no.
Yeah, they're terrifying. I dated somebody from that community.
Terrifying?
Yeah. Never again.
Terrifying, I mean, isn't quite.
I think the thing is as well is that, like, idol culture in Japan is very different to Western idol culture. And this also goes back to what we were talking about in the pre-show with fan bases and obsessions with shipping characters and then literally sending death threats to artists because they don't get their way.
But that's also
not the same in Japan.
Like, Oshinoko was so popular and so interesting is because it talks about that aspect of idol culture in comparison to just showcasing
the
idols.
Fluffy surface level stuff that they don't really want you looking behind the mask of.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it's like, it's a very different sort of thing. Like, for context as well, Sound Euphonium was 2015 when that came out. And that's, again, adapted from a manga, but the manga had showed a continuing process of pulling through the story and actually sticking with it. So two volumes, 16 chapters. They then had a prequel adaptation. There's a novel. There's lots of surrounding media which support it. And they went, well, we'll take that on because we know we can do a good job. We will not see another Kaon. Kaon's done. Like, to be perfectly blunt, like, no one will pick up the franchise to adapt that series because the author can't be trusted to actually deliver on what he says.
We don't know, actually.
That's the other thing as well. We think it's a guy because the only picture that we have of Khaki Fly is their hand, and it has a lot of hair on it that looks very masculine.
What if it's a prosthetic hand?
You never know. look, Kaon isn't going to be for everyone. Like, if you don't like the cute girls doing cute things or the story not moving at a faster pace, it's not going to, especially with modern anime, it's not going to necessarily hit right for you. But if you like chill anime like Non Non Biori, like the ones where it doesn't really matter and everything's low stakes, but it's pretty and like things evolve over a longer period, you
will
still
enjoy it. To reiterate what you said earlier, it's a four coma.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be little gags that someone has turned into a story. It was never going to be sort of like a brilliant epic with a set beginning, middle, and end. It's just...
I mean, it could have been, but Khaki Fly robbed us of that. I'm still mad.
It's just, you know, it's cute, silly, wholesome, low stakes. It's nice.
To give you context, in the recommendations on my anime list for it, for things you might like if you like Kaon, it includes Lucky Star, Azumanga Daioh, Gakugurashi, Gakuden... There's a lot of, like, overlaps here. And it's mostly because they're, like, you know, also four-coma, like, four-panel comedy mangas.
Oh, like Pop Team Epic.
Exactly. Except that I couldn't with Pop Team Epic.
And then what was it, Rilakkuma? No, not really Kuma. Aggretsuko.
Oh, Aggretsuko.
Aggretsuko was good, though. Even though it went in a weird place, it made sense and it worked. Mm. And it was
Aggretsuko's
funny.
Aggretsuko's special to me for one reason and one reason only, and that's you, Tifa.
Because she is Aggretsuko?
No, because I'd do my patrols and she would be watching it. And I'd sit there and go, oh, so they don't have 5 minutes to walk downstairs to collect the newspapers, but they got time to watch Aggretsuko.
That's not my job. That's editorial's job. That wasn't my job.
But yeah, look, I mean, as we were saying, like, there are other music animes out there, but they don't really hit the same sort of notes these shows have done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they haven't managed, like we saw with Bocchi the Rock, they have managed to find a way to do this sort of formula and pull you in to actually be invested in the characters like they did with K-On.
This was...
And even though it's, as we said, low stakes, you still kind of cared about the characters. Like, you didn't want them to fail their exams because you knew that would mean that, you know, the next few episodes of them doing study sessions instead of music.
This is a time capsule of a completely different time in anime. This was just post-Haruhi, right?
Yeah.
So this was sort of around the big golden age of conventions and stuff like that.
I wouldn't call it the golden age of conventions, but I would totally call it the golden age of abuse.
I was going to say, I get NAMM flashbacks.
So, Haruhi was 2006. We definitely did. I did not go to many conventions back then. But this is also like the golden age of Kyoto animation back then, before obviously we had the horrible firebombing and the stuff that happened around then. They've only kind of just really started re-emerging from that over the past few years to have proper series and new content come out.
Mm.
But it's taken a while to get to that point. Like, they were on such a roll back then. So
damn bloody shame.
Mm-hmm. But if you do want to watch it, the film is in the Criterion Collection. The series is... Actually, where is it? So Crunchyroll High Dive... Some areas have it on Amazon Prime. Some areas have it on, not Disney Plus, the Hulu. Other one.
Mm.
Hulu, thank you. It's going to be highly dependent on your region, but it is visible in a lot of areas. So you've got the two main seasons, heap of specials, and then a movie. And they're all pretty good.
I loved the movie.
The movie did really well. And I think the animation quality for it, like, they... Because it's Kyoani, they just went, hey, we can actually spend extra time on this and make it look really good. But yeah.
What I love about it is like a group of cute Japanese girls coming to London and just taking pictures of everything, like being the quintessential tourists. And you're just like, oh, this is perfect.
Yeah. I wonder what it would have been like if they went to America, because then it would just be the size of the food with Yui. She'd be like, the burger's so big!
Finally, my size!
Actually, now I kind of want a burger.
I could go a burger.
I had a burger for dinner last night.
Oh, I have so much time for a burger.
Third wave?
Might be too busy. Let's have a look. But yeah.
I sent you those burgers.
That's too big of a burger.
Varsity.
But the next big project Kyoto Animation's on is the Ruri Dragon manga animation, which will be similar to K-On! In it's being slice of life, cute girls doing cute things in a school environment.
Ruri Dragon?
Yeah.
So, is it any relation to Ruri Rocks?
No.
Okay.
No. There you go. She is a dragon girl at school. That is literally the plot. Yes.
I've seen clips of this where she stands up to read a book and then sneezes and disintegrates it in a fireball.
Yeah.
It looks adorable.
So we know the manga for this has been going in regular serialization in Weekly Shonen Jump since 2022. And this obviously is right up the alley. If you like K-On!, this will be one to watch out for. And I think it's going to be December.
It looks so cute.
Actually, we don't have a timeline for when it's coming out yet, but we should be getting news on that soon, I'm sure. Like, I can't imagine they would not provide an update mid-year during the Kyoto Animation Festival, because they do a lot with that. But yeah, look, if you want to watch K-On!, if you haven't watched it, please do check it out. If you haven't seen it in a long time, you enjoyed it, go rewatch it. I was surprised how much I still enjoyed it and how many more things I noticed in the background that I didn't when I was first watching it. Because I guess maybe I've become more observant when I'm watching anime.
I adore their teacher advisor. She is absolutely unhinged.
Sawako.
Sawako.
It's like
we're just throwing all the letters in.
Sawa.
It's like they introduce her in an earlier episode, and they're like, "Wow, she's so pretty, and she's so like wholesome and together." And then you'll see her again after a few more episodes, and she still maintains that facade. And then you learn about her dark past as basically a Chinabio rock star of the school.
Metalhead.
All because she got rejected.
And then, and then her mask just entirely drops and she is a complete psycho for the rest of the time.
But she does take them to music festivals and stuff like that, which I feel like none of that happens in the manga. It's like it's so important to their character growth in the series. Like this is why I keep saying, like, I love Kyoto Animation anime, even if it's not like up my alley for the particular show. I just know that they'll have put in the thought and consideration for the show. So
they bloody care about what they're doing, and that is such a rare thing in an industry these days.
Yeah.
I mean, not so much in anime. There are, like, as we've seen with Witch Hunter Talia, baby.
Wow, yeah.
There are studios who really care about what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, like, this is the thing. Like, we know that animation as a whole in Japan is really hard to fund, essentially. Like, the amount of money that they get paid is nothing, and they're losing staff because of it because they're not treating people. But we're starting to see some of the studios who actually care go, no, we're not going to let that happen. And Kyoto Animation was always one of, like, the tent poles of, like, this is what a studio could be. Because all their staff were well compensated and well paid. They all were looked after. They were all considerate. They didn't rush people into, you know, the crazy deadline schedules. They'd go, okay, if this is going to be 24 episodes, we'll make sure 12 episodes are done before it even airs.
It would take a while to come out, but when it did,
it would always be good.
Perfect.
And obviously they had a strong relationship with Sentai Filmworks, who became High Dive. So, you know, a lot of their stuff's on there as well, and the dubs for it, because of it, were exceptional. So, yeah. Anyway, go watch it. It's good. We're not being very, you know, good at explaining things, but yeah.
It's
Kawaii-Fi Radio.
Tonight on Anime Communique.
Great story. Compelling and rich.
Nothing brings ratings up like a little controversy.
Sorry, Aaron-san, I cut you off.
Ouch. It's good if you want a nothing anime. If you just want to watch nothing happen for 36 episodes, 14
now
OVAs,
back to the news.
And a movie, nothing happens.
Whoa, no. Things happen, nothing of consequence happens.
They're just existing. You're just watching people exist.
The dub's really good, and it's really nice. Chill to put on in the background while you're watching stuff.
Hang on, this is Eurocamp with a drum kit.
Yeah. You mean Eurocamp is K-On with a tent.
Wait, Dave.
Durants.
A tent in a drum kit. Inside of a nonsense.
Sorry, Zephyr stole your joke there.
Oh my god.
All right, there's always plenty going on in the world of anime news this past fortnight was a bit weird. There is a lot of news that's come out, but none of it's
news.
We've got a few items that are important, but like compared to the past few months where it's been like controversies or problems or this major announcement or, you know, oh, this studio has done something really dumb or this one's going into, you know, administration, nothing like that. It's just kind of like minor updates and stuff getting up, you know, this is coming to an end and this is getting an anime and stuff like that. It's like, it's a bit weird. So we'll kick this off with Black Clover because the manga's come to an end.
Yes, yeah. It managed to get its 3-chapter finale. And it's done after, I think it started 2016?
2015. February, yeah.
So 11 years. Yeah.
Like in the pre-show, I gave all due affection to the One Piece fandom for being crazy freaks. The Black Clover fandom is pretty similar. They are rabid fans.
They
of
are
shonen.
Loyalists.
I love them.
It's your typical shonen, and it's great to see that it lasted so long.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm pretty sure, Tifa, you also watched the anime, didn't you?
Yeah, in the beginning.
Yeah.
You didn't get far then.
It gets better, I hear.
It does. I also tried watching it. I kind of tapped out after the first two episodes because I found the main character too much.
He screams a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm done with
it
that, man.
We like
can just
word.
Read it.
Yeah. Especially now.
It felt like they were trying to make a slightly more hyped Naruto character.
I mean, it was a weekly shonen jump title, especially in the peak of Naruto, like 2015. When you think about it, that was like kind of the big films, the transition to Boruto, like the big ending arcs and all that. So they were getting towards that point. So they were looking for a torchbearer. And I don't think they realized how much tastes would change in 10 years.
Yeah.
Because, yeah.
It's true.
So
nonetheless, it has been a rousing success. Mm-hmm. It's gone the distance.
Much better than Boruto.
Yeah. Is the manga still going?
Yes.
Because it went on hiatus for a bit monthly. And then had a time skip. Oh, it's gone to monthly. Oh,
it's been monthly for a while.
Well, so at least with Black Clover, they went, oh, we'll go on hiatus for exactly 3 months. So this is how we can prepare the final arc, and then came back and then just stuck with it till the end. So,
great.
Yeah, good apparently planning. It's quite good. There's not a lot of filler or anything like that in there once you get past that initial arc at the start, where it is kind of a lot of you got to do the setup like you do in most shonens.
Yeah, but like you need to make your character unbearable to start with so that they can grow.
I don't think they need to be made unbearable, but they do have to have room to grow. Yeah. They do have to have flaws.
Well, like the more room there is, the better, right?
Not necessarily, because if you can't retain the viewer like happened with Tifa and myself, then you won't. this is the challenge, and Kenny, you'll know this, with any writing and doing creative storytelling, you have to have something that pulls people in, but it has to be accessible enough that it won't put them off from sticking it with it. And that's why so many, like, let's be honest, is why so many reboots are dumb, because people don't want to take the risk. They just go in Hollywood, oh well, this was successful back then, let's just reboot it with new people, because then we know it was successful then, it'll be successful now. And it won't be, because people are just like, why'd you reboot it and you change this?
I wanted to watch it, I'd watch the original.
Yeah,
that's just
or that one really good remake. There's always that one.
Sometimes there is. Yeah.
Sometimes, not always.
But yeah, like, you know, there's some where you're just like, that didn't need a remake. Why'd you bother? Like, you know. Whereas, like, I feel like with manga, especially if you have a look at modern shonen stuff, anything since 2020, basically, the approach they have had to introducing characters has not been like they used to do for One Piece or for Bleach or for Naruto or even Black Clover.
I'll punch you until you're good.
Yeah, that style of character introduction at the start of the manga isn't what they do anymore. They do the world building and set the world to then place the character in it, so that the character's identity isn't the thing which pulls people in. It's how cool is this world?
Yeah.
I mean, look at Kaiju number 8. It was all about establishing the world that they are living in before they then went into it. Even My Hero Academia at the start did that as well. It was establishing the world. It didn't matter about the cast of characters. They were going to build Deku up, but building a world where heroes exists and how it functions was more important than the characters in the beginning.
I think it's the fine line between the two.
Yeah. Like, it's finding that is so important.
It's that you want to set up the world that people want to go on the journey with, but you're going on the journey with this person and... that you have to want to stay.
I mean, same thing with Furion. Like, initially when we heard about it, we weren't sure if it would be good. And this was back when it was... No, before it even won the manga award. Mm-hmm. Because we were like, oh, it's getting English translation. This was like in season one of the podcast. And we were like...
We've got English seasons?
Yeah, we're in season seven. It's by the year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Okay. I was like, damn, I haven't been paying attention.
You know what that means? Season 8's going to be terrible.
Don't say that.
Looking at you, Game of Thrones.
10 seasons in a movie.
Yes, the not Star Trek. The Stargate treatment.
Hey.
So, but look.
Does that mean we're getting Claudia Black on the podcast?
Can we?
I would love to interview her. She's so cool. And she's done some voice acting as well for dubs. So I love not her just in
Farscape.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Anyway. going back anyway. Like,
so Farscape was a fantastic
obviously, trip. Black Clover coming to end is kind of like, it feels like the end of like the traditional long-running shonen series, because everything's moved away from the weekly release model as far as the TV show stuff goes. Whereas, you know, we've kind of... Even One Piece has stopped doing it as far as like the releasing anime and stuff. They're actually now following the seasons.
Yeah. And they are, like, it's not really a reboot, but they are doing the redo of the first series with new anime techniques. And
that is our next news piece.
Oh, yes.
The One Piece anime remake has unveiled a 300-minute global debut in February. So they say 300-minute. It's 7 episodes. It's basically what should be actually said. 7 episodes in season 1 to revisit starting from the East Blue saga. we've been discussing how this will be handled because there's so many rumors around. People saying, oh, they're going to do one chapter per episode. That would make it longer than the existing series. That just makes no sense. I think it'll be one arc per episode.
Oh, wow.
If you think about it, especially for the start, you can, just like they did with the live action, you can fit each character's introduction into one arc. But like one episode or one and a half episodes.
I think that apparently it's going to end either before or just after we meet Sanji.
Yeah. And that would check out.
Yeah.
Because that's about, I want to say 55 to 60 chapters of the story. Because I know like the battle for Usopp's introduction on the manga just takes way too long. Mm. Like they keep going to the town and then back to the beach and back to the town and back to the beach every second chapter. And it's like, if you just stayed on one, you could have finished it real quick.
I'm so gutted that they like cut that from the live action, like Jungo and the Black Cat Pirates.
Like. Yeah. I mean, like it's disappointing, but at the same time, I think for pacing, it made it so much more digestible. And the thing is from memory, Black Cats don't really show up a lot after that. Like, I think they show up they're referenced a couple of times, or they're in the background scene of a whole load of other pirates in a certain location.
I mean, they were meant to be tough, but they weren't.
No, exactly.
Jungo, however.
Yeah. But I mean, they'll just introduce him later. Like, you know.
I loved his musical special episode.
I did not, but
the Jungo's Dance Island.
Like, I am not a fan of like musical episodes where you get all the characters singing. For me, it just doesn't hit right.
This is why we hated One Piece Red.
We didn't like One Piece Red, not because of the music, but because the music was shoved in at the expense of the story.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't really contribute too much to the story, and it after a while it just kind of started feeling a bit repetitive.
We didn't like it because idols.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
I'll make it plain and simple.
Look, I'm sorry if you are an Idol fan, like...
The podcast has moved past that section.
Well, it's not just that. It's like, you're welcome to like what you like, but, like,
take it
into consideration. Like, you know, actually consider your behavior, because that's... look.
Just stereotyping
the fact
now.
That you like Idol anime. Well,
no.
You
like,
should be ashamed.
No, well, no. It's more like consider how you behave when you're talking about it. Like, don't push it onto other people, because that's what our experience has been. It's been people going, well, no, everyone likes Idol anime. It's like, that's not how it works, guys. It's like, you've got... Everyone has different interests. It's like people saying, oh, A Perfect Circle is everyone's music, which someone said to me like 15 years ago, and I'm like, bruh, not everyone likes metal. Like, don't get me wrong, I think Perfect Circle's fine, but I'm not going to say it's everyone's music. Otherwise, they would be the biggest band in the world. Like, that, it's simply not how it works.
Wait,
so,
who?
Like, consider that other people... Yeah, exactly. So not everyone knows who they are. It's about considering that other people will have other interests and other likes.
Are
just
they
because
anything
you
like
love something
gorillas?
Doesn't necessarily... No, no, no.
No.
Everybody likes gorillas.
No.
Feel good.
No, not everyone likes them. I can tell you of at least four people who don't. Oasis. Because the guy who founded it was from Blur, and Blur and Oasis hate each other.
Oh God, that's so funny.
Music drama.
Exactly.
That's not anime.
That's not anime. I don't know. I mean, like, they did just animate that short film for their episode.
That's true.
Admittedly, it was with the London studio, but I'm glad to see it was all hand animated, and it was all like a tribute to the Jungle Book, which
was
sick.
That was really cool.
Anyway, we're expecting a lot from, obviously, the One Piece What's the official thing? It's like the One Piece.
I'm just calling it a redo.
It is just the One Piece in all the marketing. So we've got Attack on Titan and Moonrise director from Wit Studios looking after it.
We've got 16 different endings.
No. He wasn't on those ones.
Okay.
This is Wit before Mappa took over.
Gotcha. Okay.
They've got the key animator for director Detective Conan, the Scarlet Bullet film, and... He did do episode five of Suicide Squad Isekai, but like, if it's they're the key animator, yeah, whatever. They're the assistant director. It's the chief animation director for Spy X Family, and the animation director for the first Slam Dunk film are the character designers and chief animation directors. The staff from Inspector, who did the design and key animations, is also on board for image boarding and creature designs. Like,
okay.
It's an all-star cast. This keeps going on. So there's other shows, Vampire in the Garden, people from Haikyuu and Ranking of Kings, animation director for Naruto Next Generation's film, the My Hero Academia season 4 and 6 animation director. director, a certain magical index and a certain magical scientific railgun art director. Like,
wow.
It's a star-studded list. They have put everyone who's worked on big stuff in this.
Keep in mind, there have been star-studded lists before which failed. Ghibliarte.
No, that's because they were stars from outside of the industry.
Okay.
They were all, like, creatives, but they'd never done anything like it.
God, also, if anything has the money to get the right creatives onto it, it's definitely One Piece.
Yeah, that's, and not only true. That, so Wit Studios sits underneath Production IG,
mm-hmm.
And Production IG have said that this is important. They're like, the president of Wit Studios and CEO of Production IG said in an interview in March, the anime will have tighter pacing without unnecessary padding, especially compared to Toei Animation's anime. In terms of directorial artistic style, they want Wit Studio to produce the new remake with similar strength and quality to its other animes, such as the quality of Attack on Titan, Spy X Family, and Vinland Saga. Their focus is on their shows, which have aired late night in Japan with high quality animation and tight pacing. So that, to me, gives me hope. We will see. I feel like, considering how well the live action animation adaptation has been done, and the fact that, you know, Oda is involved in this as well. Like, he's not separate from it. He is actually directly involved, unlike the early days of Toei's adaptation. Yeah, I have hope.
So, I have a question.
Yeah.
Have we found the One Piece yet?
No.
But I mean, the one that was sunk.
Oh, no, we haven't seen any updates on that.
Okay.
Yeah, unfortunately. We know roughly where it is, because it is just off the shore of where Oda's studio is.
Yeah, of course.
you also need someone crazy enough to go and get it.
It's also, like, deep. Like, that area from the from the south coast of Japan down through, like, the islands of Southeast Asia off the coast is where the Marinara Trench is.
Oh.
Like, it's some of the deepest spots in the planet.
I just had a terrible thought. But,
like, it's deep.
Like, in order to get that, someone's going to have to send a submersible because, let's face it, no one's just doing that by hand. And the last time someone just made a low-quality, low-rent, terrible-budget submarine, it was the Ocean Gate.
No.
Wait.
Ocean Gate the anime?
No. I had a moment of pure clarity.
Oh.
To do that sort of thing, you need a lot of money, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you'd also want to be somebody who's, like, big invested in it, right?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Well, you can send Logan Paul.
Oh, I'd send Logan Paul down there in
an Ocean Gate submarine. Oh my God.
What could possibly go wrong?
Okay.
Logan Paul to find the One Piece.
We're starting a GoFundMe, folks.
We don't have to. He has the money.
Yeah. Why are we giving him money?
We just get it in his ear.
We just need to convince Logan Paul to build his own submarine.
Is he allowed back in Japan, though? I thought he was banned after.
He's not in Japan. He's off the coast.
It is in Japanese water, so yeah. So maybe, if it doesn't implode, he'll get arrested. So that, who knows? Anyway.
And then the police will confiscate the One Piece and nobody will know.
I mean, that is kind of a great solution, actually. I hate that it actually works. moving right along. So for those unaware, this comes out in February next year. All 7 episodes will drop at once on Netflix and it should be good. Kenny's having way too much fun with this, so we'll come back to his story after, because I don't think he's going to be able to talk straight on it. Tifa, Kagurabachi is getting an anime. This is one of the amazing new shonen anime series that we've been all kind of keeping across. What's the go?
So for a long time, like ever since the first chapter came out, there were so many rumors about the anime happening. Who's gonna animate it? What's gonna happen? When's it coming out? Well, the teaser trailer dropped. It looks fantastic. And we have a date as well, I believe, that it will be in 2027 in the second quarter of 2027.
Yeah, spring season.
April, I believe. But my favorite thing about this is the animation studio. So the animators the animators that brought you Uma Musume. But
that's the character designer for it, yeah.
But they did The Summer Hikaru Died, which was very, very good. So that is Cypic Inc., Cypic Studios. They will be the ones that are doing it. And considering, like, The Summer Hikaru Died was, like, their first real, like, push into a popular anime that wasn't just, like, from a mobile game,
and was very successful. Mm. I feel like this will be quite good, but we also know that the author of Kagurabachi has said that they saw the iconic Naruto fight between Rock Lee and Gaara and was like, I want that guy. I want that person to be animating my stuff. And that's exactly what they've done. So,
also worth mentioning for those who haven't heard of Cypic as a studio, it's just it's one of CY Games Pictures' subsidiaries.
Okay.
So they've got, and we weren't too sure about them going into anime, but they have been on so many animes, is in between animation, key animation, finishing products, everything. Like they've actually served.
That's a hell of a list.
Yeah, and considering they were established in 2016, like, and it is pages and pages and pages. They have done the hard work to get in there, and
well done there.
You know, if this was like 5 years ago, I'd be still a bit like, I don't know. But you know what? With what you've done, show us what you can do.
And we heard of Kagurabachi way back when it was like a wee one chapter. And a lot of people have been hyping it up since day one to say, okay, this is getting an anime. This is going to be big. This is another one to have high hopes for, I think.
I think the other thing as well is that as it started, because I believe that the author might have been like assistant to a lot of popular mangakas already, but we had a lot of people from like Kishimoto, who does Naruto and things like that, all hyping it up as well and all having like basically a written piece being like, this is what you guys should read, like selling
it's also
it.
Crazy. Yeah, it's also crazy that this has only been going since 2023, like, and it's got 124 chapters because it's a weekly. And, you know, we're so used to seeing some of the shows that we're excited for being monthly or fortnightly releases, like, or just kind of having breaks all over the place.
Its story is certainly interesting. Its art style is, like, a major selling point for it. It's got this whole, like, how would you even put it? Like a traditional art, like Japanese goldfish motif going through it.
Definitely.
Hard to really put into words.
Yeah, they, Anime News Network did do an interview with creator Takeru Hokazona. And it looks like this was September last year. Apparently there was, as you were saying, Tifa, because of the research that they did beforehand, the interest was there and the popularity was there from day one, the first chapter. Everyone was hooked. So
I don't know if, like, I don't know what it is about it. There's, like, there's nothing so outlandishly crazy and new about what it's presenting. It's like Yakuza underworld figures with crazy magic sword stuff going on.
The six enchanted blades.
But it just has everyone's attention.
Big fan of Naruto. Whole family enjoyed it. The series' inspiration was Hollywood's version of Japan. So, you know, the Hollywood depiction of Japan often emphasizes and exaggerates the traditional elements, which is different from reality, which is, that definitely makes a lot of sense from what I've seen of it. So there you go. But yeah, this has been on my, like, to-read list for a while, and I've been putting it off because I've been reading all these other ones and getting disappointed. And I think I just need to hit something like this, like, and just go for it. Especially now that I finished, like, several of the big ones that I was reading.
Like Golden Kamuy and stuff.
God, that was so good. If you haven't read Golden Kamuy, read it. Also watch it as well. Just as good. Cool. Now, that's, as you said, 2027. They're doing, like, a weird sort of world tour sort of promo thing of it. And it ends in Japan, literally on the night of the first episode.
They did something similar, I think, with Chainsaw Man as well when the first season came out. And they did previews in different countries, with the final one being in Japan ahead of the full season reveal, basically.
Yeah, the world tour starts this summer, and that will show the first 20 minutes of the first episode at various anime events. So that means this whole year, everyone's going to see those first 20 minutes. But if it's the first 20 minutes, it means
how long
that's
is
probably
the episode?
Exactly my thought, because normally it'd be 22 to 24 episodes for standard broadcast length.
I remember.
But that might mean this is a double episode.
I remember the first chapter of the manga and...
Why do you sound like an old person? I remember.
Back in my day, video games came in little plastic boxes.
And sniffing the manual was fantastic.
Hell yeah. But it's more that I remember how bloody crazy the first, like, just the opening of the chapter was. So I'm just like... The first 20 minutes, if it is a match one for one, oh, this is going to be so cool.
I mean, I can see them trying to do that for the impact.
Yeah, and like the visual aesthetic of it, especially with, yeah, Chainsaw Man and Jujutsu Kaisen coming to an end and being a little bit more on the darker side of fantasy, and this being a dark fantasy specifically, I feel like that's a really good segue into what is going to be the next like step of shonen, essentially.
Hollywood's idea of Japan. That's the moment you said that, it's clicked. That's what it is.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Well, look, we're really excited for that. I think that might be our Jujutsu Kaisen moment when that comes out. We'll all be like, oh, yeah, boy. Yeah, eating good. All right, last item on our news list for this fortnight is Go Tanabe is launching a manga of H.P. Lovecraft's The Case of Charles Dexter Ward's. It's a novella which was created. Kenny, you are our H.P. Lovecraft guy. What's the go?
This is one of the less like crazy creature monster ones in his selection, but no less creepy. How do I put this? This is a warping of personalities and a loss of identity in creepy supernatural circumstances. But it's just more that, yes, Gatanabe's doing another one. Just more H.P. Lovecraft manga. In fact, I want this to become more of a thing of like...
He's done a lot.
Classic, like Western, like... classy literature turned into mangas because, oh, it's going so good. And I'm just wondering, when is someone going to pick this up and turn it into a bloody anime?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they might struggle with that in the same way that we've struggled with Junji Ito's adaptations. They just won't do it right.
Perhaps.
Yeah. Because just, getting that feel is so important.
Have you had a look at any of the Tanabe ones?
I've been meaning to.
I'll have to throw them at you. I've been collecting.
You got them? Brilliant.
His Call of Cthulhu is excellent. Shadow of Innsmouth, also incredible.
Hound and Other Stories, which I think was one of the first ones. Hound and Other Stories?
Oh, The Hound of Tyndalos. I haven't got that one yet.
Yeah, it's they've released it's a trio, The Hound and Other Stories. So it's got The Hound, The Temple, and The Nameless City in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That was released by Dark Horse in 2017.
Dark Horse.
Dark Horse. Very dark, dude. Then Mountains of Madness as well.
I am a big fan of the Lovecraft collection. I've been I've actually been going back and reading Lovecraft's letters to various people.
Yeah, I remember you got like the big tome for your birthday.
I did.
When we got in the voucher for it. Yeah, it's thick.
Yeah, I love the collection because it also comes with a fake diploma to the Miskatonic University and stuff in it, so I can give myself.
Seen the... he did a series called Short Stories About Dreamlands, which is based on the Dream Cycle stories.
I have not.
So that went from 2023 to 2024. We might have to have a look at this tonight and see what we can track down.
This is what I get for not even researching my stuff anymore. All right.
And one last thing. We haven't really mentioned this much on the podcast, but it's something we kind of want to have an episode, and it's called Milky Subway.
It's not a big sandwich dunked in milk.
Yeah. So it's the Galactic Limited Express. don't know why you're doing that. So this started out as Milky Highway. It was a 2D, 3D CG project produced by an Indian student in his last year of his university degree.
Wow, really?
And he got it all dubbed in Japanese, got all the music done from Japanese artists and everything, animated the entire thing himself. Yeah. And it's spectacular. And then Tokyo TV went, hell yeah, want to do a series? And he went, can I hire people? They're like, absolutely.
My God, that is just every weeb's dream.
Yeah, no. And it is exceptional. I binged the entire thing in about an hour, and it is comedy gold. The dub is really good.
Bravo, that guy.
Yeah, so he's actually very active on YouTube. So when we do this episode, I want to see if we can reach out to him and actually get him on. Because he doesn't do a lot of, at least not YouTube channel media. It's mostly just kind of, you see him in the back of like a story in Comic Natalie, which is the Japanese media outlet all written in Japanese, in stories on there. But he doesn't seem to do a lot of like interviews for like, small channels and stuff like that, so maybe he'd be interested. It'd be cool to see. This is basically getting everything, the all 12 episodes re-edited into a film with even more content put in, because it's very sort of like a mix of flashback storytelling along with like, you know, these people were arrested and, you know, here's their interview, and then, you know, 12 hours before this person was arrested, there's this interview, and just like, oh, now I understand why these guys are so goofy and stuff like that. And they use the music and the animation in it really well. So this, Tokyo MX broadcasted it, and it's on YouTube. The whole thing's on YouTube to watch for free. It's dubbed in English, Portuguese, Spanish, Korean, Chinese, Thai, Indo, French, Hindi, and Russian, also on YouTube. So like they went and did it.
Wow.
So yeah, it's really good. The whole thing starts off with the super the Milky Highway, which is basically them driving. They're driving from one planet to another in their on the highway in their car, and you know, you've got the Chiharu, who is like, you know, really strong girl, and the cyborg Makina, who they got arrested for speeding, and they just kind of like kept doubling down.
I'm sorry, my bad science brain is measuring the distance between planets and how long it would take to drive.
That's the gag, because she's like, you said you wanted to go visit another planet. This is how long it takes. And she's like, but I'm bored.
I'm like, what are the metrics that we're using here? How fast does the car go? What counts as speeding?
Red line.
Red line, yes.
Yeah, the anime's theme song is Ginkai Mare Tonde Ike, which is Fly to the Galaxy. It's a song from 1977 by the girl group Candies from Japan.
Crazy.
And it is so good. it just hits so good. Yeah. Graduation project for Kadokawa's Vantan Game Academy CG Animator Major. So there you go. It was sponsored by the course is sponsored by Kadokawa. It wasn't, he was under Kadokawa's thing.
Let's have a viewing of that later on.
I've went and just downloaded the whole thing, and it's on the server because it's already on YouTube, and it's much easier to grab it that way and see it, and that way we've got the multi-language. It's so good. Look, I loved it, and then I forced Emma to watch it, and she's like, okay, I get it. So, yeah, it's really dumb. The actual description is superhuman Chiharu and cyborg Makina got arrested for breaking space traffic laws. They're stuck with a crew of misfits who got caught around the same time. Akane and Kanata, the superhuman pair, Kurt and Max, the cyborg pals. Ryoko, the police officer, sentenced them to clean up the interplanetary train, the so-called Milky Subway, as their community service. It should have been a simple job until the train suddenly just takes off into deep space and the crew scrambles as confusion and chaos unfolds. No purpose, no principle, and no point. A never-before-seen space train spectacle powered by nothing but pure momentum. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. Whole thing's on YouTube. It'll be an hour and a half of your time, and it'll be completely worth it. Because each episode's like 4 minutes. So, and the opening doesn't overstay its welcome. It's like 15 seconds. And it just kind of shows up as an interrupt of a really silly moment every time. So,
oh, you mean like
it's da, 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 da.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I'll be, what are you? Da, 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 da. And you're like, okay, cool. So yeah, look, go watch it. It's great. And with that brings us to the end of the news. At least for this episode, there is always more kicking around. And if you see anything interesting,
is the end of the news forever.
Forever.
Nothing else ever happens anymore.
I know. Like that's that's it. It's over. It's over, friends. Anyway,
we've only got olds now.
Wi-Fi Radio.
Why do you feel responsible, Kenny?
Because Kenny's an unk.
I set that one up. I.
It's show
sorry,
over.
Goodbye.
Okay. That is where we're going to leave things for this episode. Thank you so much for listening and joining us. Next time, All You Need Is Kill. The film is out.
Da, 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 da.
We're going to watch it. It'll be better than Live, Die, Repeat, Edge of Tomorrow. So that was a good film, which is what it's based on. As in, like, Edge of Tomorrow is based on the manga of All You Need Is Kill.
Good movie.
It was, because, yeah, it wasn't Hollywood. I mean, well, it was Hollywood. But not, and it wasn't, you know, all
Tom,
of them.
Tom Cruise can really run.
He can really run, that man, yeah. Like,
bloody hell can he run?
I'm just thinking of...
Letterkenny.
Yeah. as always, big thanks to our Patreon members for their support. If you want more content, including this week was a 50-minute pre-show and it was very all over the
show. We talked about a lot of random stuff we're not supposed to say because of YouTube guidelines.
Yeah.
Logan Paul was brought up a lot.
Which is why it was kind of funny to put him in a sub. Tifa's face is like, oh God. Look, if you want access to that, head over to our Patreon. Social media accounts also as well. We'll have updates and previews for the new episodes. That's kind of it. Sorry we were late. Life sometimes gets in the way, but that's kind of what happens when we're, you know, independent and fiercely so and do our own thing.
Sick.
And, you know, we don't have like a major organization to fall back on to cover us if someone gets sick.
That is too close to home.
Yeah, right. But no, it's good because that means we can choose what we do and don't do, which is the important thing. That independence means that we can be critical of organizations if they do bad things and call it out.
Doo-doo.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of doo-doo.
About your puns.
Yeah. So that's where we're going to leave things. You've been listening to Kawaii-Fi Radio. I got tongue twisted there. Thank you for joining us. And until next time,
watch some anime.
I love that we got a visual representation of what psychic damage looks like with that pun.